we as the body of Christ have such a strong anointing from God, being born again with Jesus in your heart. You have such an anointing working for you and through you that we sometimes forget that we have brothers and sisters across the world that's suffering. Brothers and sisters that are paying the price for preaching the gospel. Just for having a Bible in your hand. Just for having pages in China. And we seldom think sometimes, because we're here in Hawaii. I remember a good friend of mine, Pastor Jim Cabray, once said that in San Bernardino, California, very large church, he said that he doesn't like to come to preach in Hawaii because he gets scared because everybody thinks they're on vacation all the time here. So he's thinking that, you know, he's saying that's how the church operates sometimes too. Well, we're never on vacation from Jesus, amen? I'm going to continue in talking about the power of persuasion because we have such a persuasion in the world. Whether it's to the left or to the right or straight forward, there's always a persuasion. Today I'm going to talk about to influence time. And we think sometimes, what does that mean? Well, what we do and what we say can influence time. And time frames are very important to God. Do you believe that? In the beginning, you know, we have the garden, we have different things, but there was a time when Moses in Exodus did some really intense things. He was placed, he was done, we know he went down the river and the Nile, we know that all those things, got taken by Pharaoh's daughter, raised up, and all those things. Those that read the Bible, you already know the story. And he's got all these things going for him, but the Word of God says that Israel was going to be in captivity for 400 years. 400 years. God spoke that. But on the 390th year, Moses, the man that God used and planned to bring deliverance, decided to kill one Egyptian thinking that's going to start deliverance. Well, that didn't. What it did, it caused him to run to the desert in Midian, and he met his wife, and for 40 years, he stayed there, raised two children. Shepherd did all his work, then the burning bush, you remember, right? Well, that's 430 years that Israel is now in bondage. So yes, his influence did something to time. His influence and what he did and the action. Now remember the definition for persuasion as well as influence in certain words, and I'll go over it again today, is about what's said and what's done. So there's two phases to a persuasion. What someone says and what someone does. Sometimes you can say and do and say, but it does have an influence. And our influence over people should always be directing them to one person, Jesus. I remember it was always said, I was learned by my pastors, and it says that the missionary came and said, listen, go preach the gospel to all the world, but only use words when you have to. Yeah. Our example has to be that to express, God bless you, to bring forth that power and that expression of God through persuasion. Signs and wonders are evident wherever God's presence is, wherever the people believe firmly that God is able to do everything and exceeding that which he already said. And he says in his word that Abraham was fully, what? Persuaded. That was by a persuasion that God gave him through his walk with God, through the promises that was already ignited. And so today I want to encourage you to influence time. How many know that sometimes it takes a little while to get what you got to go to do? I'm going to show you in the Word, you're supposed to be patient during that time. You're not supposed to be agitated, irritated, grumbling to everybody else. Because we do that. We do that while we're waiting, while we're waiting, while we're waiting. And I want us to thank God again today for all the pressure we get in our life. No stress. Too blessed to be stressed. I'm talking about pressure. I'm talking about people sometimes or even things that happen, even the enemy's aggression to challenge us, to put us in a place where we're being tempted. You might say, why are you thanking? I'm thanking God for all of that. You know why? Because I remember sharing about that island in New Zealand where those birds can't fly. And the reason they can't fly is no predators. Nobody to challenge them. Nobody to attack them. Nobody to come against what they believe or the true nature of their faith. Nobody to challenge them. They never develop flight wings. Birds that are supposed to fly and supposed to have flight wings don't have flight wings because there was never a challenge. It was only peace, only peace. Everything's good. All it's going to take is one predator. Throw a mongoose on that island and he's going to have a field day for the rest of his life because they got no defense. They can't fly. Praise God for Christians that face the challenges, go through the difficult times, and God gives you victory every time. He said he would give us victory every time. We have to have faith in him to give us that victory. Amen? So I'm not about you, but we don't want to hang around and hackle with the chickens. Amen? Let's get some wings and fly with the eagles. All right? We need to do that. So today, that's what we're going to talk about. Is that all right? Not the eagles. We're going to talk about time. We're going to talk about time, and I'm not going to go into deep analogies. I'm just going to go into the Word of God. I'm going to share what God put on the plate. And I tell you, it's a good meal. Amen? So, if we can turn to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. So, we're talking about the power of persuasion still, because we all have a persuasion. Again, I want to say, how many know that strangers can't persuade you? Strangers can't influence me. Meaning that if I meet a stranger and they're being negative with me, that's not going to influence me. When you go to the doctor for a checkup, you have to have a positive influence. Because they're going to try to give you things that may not be exactly what you want to hear. Yeah, we deal with truth, but let me tell you what. Truth, listen, cannot be altered because God is truth by the power of the Holy Spirit. But facts can be altered. Healing comes from major, major faith in God. I'm not saying you don't need medicine. Sometimes we need medicine. There's issues that are physically going on that need to be compromised, amen, in the area of challenged. But we have to be careful because the pharmaceutical company don't care about us. I'm an ex-drug dealer from the street. They're a legal drug dealer. I'm telling you straight. You go look it up. Google it. The pharmaceuticals are not caring about you. What they want to do is get you hooked on every drug they can with side effects that will destroy your life. I do my homework before I speak. I'm speaking online too, and I'll take any challenge in that area. I'm here for you. God is that good. I want my influence to be a biblical influence. I want my influence to be the Word of God helping you. My pastor raised me up and said, you read your Word every day, you have a strong devotional life, and what's going to happen is this. Your opinion is going to be transformed, and the Word of God is going to take its place, and you don't got to preach to anybody, just talk to them, and the Word of God will come out. Why? Because the Word of God has power to deliver, has power to heal, because He sent His Word and healed us. All of this has in the Word of God the power to do everything He said. So today, I don't know about you, I like healing, amen? Hallelujah. I like healing. I like when God takes over the person that doesn't even know they're being taken over to help me go through some stuff. Amen? Take over the nurse before you get to the doctor's office. Amen? And the nurse becomes positive. But sometimes, I just went for my physical, for my CDL, to maintain my CDL. And that nurse was really intense. Amen? I mean, so intense that my blood pressure was going up. Amen? Things are happening to me. Because I'm letting it happen to me. I'm letting my mind adapt to what she's saying and not what I believe in my faith, because I'm being pounded, because that's her profession, that's what she does. But I tell you what I did. I thanked the Lord for her. I said, I needed to be challenged. I needed that word to be put toward me so that I go, no, wait a minute, this is how it's going to work. And be challenged throughout the week and deal with that. And then I told Pastor Laura, I had it coming, because sometimes I'm a little sarcastic, you know what I mean? So she was very sarcastic. Yeah. And she told me men have a problem. So she categorized us and gave us a generalization of men. Every time men come in, I have a problem with them. And then later on, she told me, you're stressing me out, Rocky. I'm like, what kind of nurse talks like that except a nurse that's going to challenge me? I don't want to be the bird with no wings. Amen. I'm going to take my challenge. I'm going to smile. I'm going to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Even when I saw the doctor to actually a physician's assistant, but he does all the PUC physicals, he looked at me and looked at me and goes, wow, that's not right. You know, because he knows that certain things, he knows me long enough. Yeah. So it's not matching up. So when we face these challenges, we have to control with our mind those bodily functions like blood pressure. You know, anger could light up a city sometimes. And it shoots your blood pressure off the chart if you were hooked up. So why am I sharing this? Our influence has to be on a positive side. So let's look at Colossians 4:5. How we influence time, listen now, is how we spend our time. So I want to challenge you today during the service just to think of this in this short time, how you're spending your time. Just think about that. Because I know you could blame the church. Like, oh, the church takes up too much time. But really, if you come to two services, no, if you come to three services a week, it takes up 4 hours. Oh, what are you doing with 164? 164 hours left in a week. I was looking at associate pastor because he was giving that. So please don't blame the church for absorbing your time, because you give a lot of time to work and family, which you should. But don't be blaming the church, because if you come Monday, Wednesday, and Sunday, then you give in 4 hours. Just saying. Just saying, because a lot of people say, I don't have time to go to church. Oh, no. You influence time. Uh-huh. And that time can be altered. So let's go to the word. Colossians 4:5. It says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders. That's others. People, strangers. Making the best use of the time. One translation would say, the best use of the time that's given to us. Or the opportunity that we have. Father, we thank you today for your word and bless you that we would glorify you in the way we walk, with the way we talk, and how we treat and love on people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I wanna share the first part of that. Says walk in what? Not stupidity, right? It says walk in wisdom. So you listen, there are people out there that are dangerous. There are people out there that you have to use wisdom and understand, hey, well, I better watch this area, be careful. Amen. I tell my wife when she goes to the mall or shopping, watch the cars around you. Pay attention to what's happening. Not that Pastor Bobby doesn't, but I'm always emphasizing that. Amen. Watch for the people sitting in their cars. Watch for the people watching you. Today, we're not living in a society that's 30 years ago, 40 years ago. It's not like it used to be. And I lived in that time. It's not like it used to be. It's different. When I was little, we walked to school 3 miles on the Big Island. All the kids, 5-year-old, walking. Nobody's thinking about kidnapping. Nobody's thinking about assault. Amen. Okay, it was a lot cheaper than to buy soda too and gum, but you know, nevertheless. Dinosaurs were dead. I was not ruling at that time. Amen. I know it's a while back. But there was safety in the areas of where we lived. Even in the town I lived in, my grandmother's house, my grandmother used to have the skeleton key. Some of you remember when. The skeleton key. And my grandma would lock the door and then, you know, hide it, you know. Or she didn't want to misplace it, you know, whatever, in her purse. And then my grandpa would go, her name was Matilda, of course. In those days, those names were active. Matilda and, you know, weird names like that. And he would call her Tilly. So he'd go, Tilly, why you lock the door? The key is the same for everybody. And I went, Grandpa, what do you mean? He goes, a skeleton key opens up everybody's door on this block. I thought, why are you locking? I'm a kid. I'm like, what are you locking the door for? You know? But that's because in your mind, I feel safe. There's a false sense of safety today that we got to be careful about. You know? And so just please be aware of your environment. Yes, people have criticized us from the beginning when we came here. How come you got security? Don't you trust God? Yeah, it's people like you we don't trust. We trust God pretty well. Security is out there because we had drug trafficking out there. We had a lot of homeless doing a lot of bad things to people. So we want to clean it up, make sure we're doing what we can to shield. So you shouldn't be in here for an hour and a half to worship and work and be concerned about your car, be concerned about things out there. I mean, women would come, sometimes they leave their surfboards out there, their purses in the car, we're like, don't get carried away, you know. These guys got a job already to do. But that's why it's for the safety in the physical realm. Doesn't mean you're not spiritual. It means you have wisdom enough to know that this world is not what it used to be. Going to church used to be a safe place to go. Now it isn't. Intrusions come in. You have assailants. I mean, there are just wicked things happening. I'm not giving you a negative. I'm saying you can influence time by your persuasion, by your way of living, by your way of trusting God. I want to give you a person in the Bible. You all know her name is Deborah. Deborah is a powerful name. No one like Deborah. Deborah's good. Well, Deborah was one of the most influential women in the Bible. Most might think, oh, Ruth. Well, I can talk about her a little later. So just give me a few minutes. Deborah was different. Why? Because Deborah really minded her business a lot, and she sat under the palm tree a lot, and she would sit there as all the Israelites would come to her for counsel. That's right, a woman in the Old Testament. And she has the wisdom of God. She has the power of God. She was a prophet and a judge. The most influential woman in the Bible, they said. This is what all the scholars are saying, and they show it through the Word. And the reason why is because she had the power of God upon her without compromising any area of her life when she has this power. In other words, she's not misguiding anybody, giving her own personal opinion or what I think, because she was very direct. She heard God and told the people what she heard. She preached. And listen, did not make sacrifices as the male priest did. She didn't go violating any areas of the Old Testament laws. She stayed on point. So not to compromise so that nobody, listen now, nobody would get into the area to criticize God in her as what she was doing was inappropriate. So she was a prophet and she was a judge. But even though she was a prophet and a judge, she didn't go do all the things like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. She did exactly what God called her to do. She spent her time wisely. She influenced those that God put in her presence. Are you here with me? There's plenty in the Bible, but I want to talk about her just a few minutes. So, only female judge mentioned in the Bible. I find that wonderful. Women should just go, that's right. You got your husband next to you, go, that's right, twice. That's right, that's right. You know, just give me a little holler there, you know. I'm all for that. I know today there's all kinds of different things. Shouldn't be women preachers. Well, I got news for you. I'm in the New Testament too. But anyway, so Deborah influenced the time to change the outcome of a battle that would change history. She influenced that time to change a battle. She did not make sacrifices, but also she led worship. Because she knew that was a battle plan of God to bring down the enemies before you even went to battle. But she was a warrior. Now, you got to understand, women warriors in those days, they weren't much appreciated. If you're a woman strapped with a sword and you ain't got a veil on your face, something's happening. Amen? But you ain't going to mess with a woman that's already got God power in her. So, she's sitting under the palm tree. She's minding her own business, counseling Israel and doing what she does. And Deborah gets a word from God. The word tells Deborah she needs to go and tell Balak that he has to go to battle. And he has to go take down this place of men and the kingdoms and all these different things. So she also, with that warrior attitude, sat under that tree, did for Israel. And when she told him that, he said something to her. He said, listen, I'll go if you lead. He didn't just say, come along. He said, if you lead. In other words, you're going to put that, you're going to put your words, you know, where your mouth is. You're going to put your money where your mouth is. You're going to challenge you. And she said, okay. She didn't even hesitate. She said, okay, but I just want to inform you. This is how powerful she was in having information. You ain't going to get no glory for that battle. And a woman's going to take that. Just letting you know, let's go. So, of course, the battle was successful and things happened. I just want to share about an influential person that not only influenced but persuaded the things to change by her taking the opportunity in that time frame to do what she had to do. She didn't wait a month. She didn't ponder it. A lot of people have pondered. I'm going to pray for a year, then I'll get back to you. Did God tell you that? I think one of the hardest things for people to do is give. I said G-I-V-E, give. It is, because when God tells you to do it, you don't want to do it. You got to think about it, pray about it, and figure it out. Balance the checkbook, balance the pocket. That ain't how God operates. He didn't operate me in over 25 years like that. He tells me something, I listen, I just do it. Doesn't have to make sense. Doesn't have to reason. God's not trying to make sense or reason. He's building faith. And I'll tell you, you want to irritate people, talk about their kids and their money. Easy go. I can irritate everybody today, that fast. Because that's the two subjects that are sensitive to us. It is. Our children, very precious. And money, very precious. I'll move on. I'm getting mad. Gotta. So we have Naomi. Naomi was a powerful woman of God. Amen. Everybody looks at Ruth, yes. But Naomi had an influence over Ruth. But that influence didn't carry to the other daughter-in-law. But it carried over to Ruth. And guess what? After Naomi influenced Ruth, Ruth now influenced Naomi. And there was a persuasion enough to change history. Naomi influenced Ruth. Ruth influenced Naomi. Ruth became part of a Bible history and a genealogy of Jesus because of an influence, because of a persuasion. Naomi had nothing to offer Ruth, nothing. So many of us think that God is using Rambos. I disagree with you. He ain't using no Rambos. In fact, one of the first services I sat in Lahaina when we joined the church, Christian church, was very small. The pastor looked at me, and well, I believe he was talking to everybody, but it sort of felt like he was looking at me. And looked at me, and I was a truck driver, you know, I got my attitude, you know, I'm a Christian, hallelujah, but I ain't holding hands, you know, okay, maybe once in a while, you know, whatever the case may be. And he said, God don't use Rambos. I'm like, that means independent spirits that do what they want. Individuals that think they don't need a fellowship outside the fellowship of what they choose. My strength comes from God and the body of Christ by being part of a body of Christ. Doesn't matter if I'm a pastor or what office I hold, or I just go to church, be an usher, or just come to church and praise God and loyalty, you know, to God and loving Him. But I'm part of the body. Like part of your fingers on your hand. We're part of the body. All churches. You should be able to walk into any Christian church and get love. You might not want the love. You might be mad that day. Amen. How many people know you come to church mad sometimes? Amen. No, that's true. You know, and God, we're hoping that God changes that when you walk through the door, when you come in, you know. You meet some beautiful greeters, they hug you, and you don't want to get a hug, but that's okay, they'll just try anyway, you know, because they love you, they appreciate you, you know. But we don't want to force them, give me a hug! You know, that's not how they got to be, you know, they got to be gentle, you know, loving, right? You know, you could be like Deborah and hold a sword, they'd be like, what the heck is going on at that front door? I'm not going in there, you know. But Naomi influenced Ruth, and Ruth influenced Naomi, and it caused her to be part of a genealogy. Miriam was a prophetess, remember in Exodus? 15:20 talks about her. She played the tambourine after the crossing, you know, and she made many, many wonderful, wonderful words of power. Moses' sister, you know, did many things. There was a woman in 2 Kings 22:14 named Hilda. Now, I didn't know too much about Hilda until I started looking up and checking, but she was just another prophetess, you know, not just another, but another woman that served God. But I thought, wow, you know. Then in Nehemiah 6:14, there's Noadiah, I think I'm pronouncing that right. N-O-A-D-I-A-H, Noadiah. I didn't know her either. Don't make it like you all do, because some of you are going, who the heck is that people? I haven't heard of them before. Because they weren't predominant in the influences that we always hear on everyday, so influential people. But they counted enough that their names were mentioned, their position was mentioned, what they did for God was mentioned. So let me tell you, You're important to God. You might think, this is just a little person. I'm just doing this. You're important to God. Just like the names I didn't know until I looked them up and read about them. You're important to God. Look at your neighbor and go, you're important. Look at your other neighbor and go, you're really important. And then go, God, I know I'm very important. You gotta speak into your own life too. You can go around speaking to everybody else's life, but speaking to your own. I wake up in the morning, I say, I'm going to have a good day. I look in the mirror, I say, you look good. I don't care what the mirror tell you. I look good today. I'm going to go out, I'm going to smile at somebody. I look good today. You got to. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, as soon as I get out of bed, the attack is on. Flooding my mind with all stupid things, especially if I hit my knees and I'm starting to... Stupid stuff. Stupid stuff I forgot about. I know it ain't God reminding me. So you have to overcome that. You have to keep praying through it. Get to your word. By the time I'm done, I'm feeling way better. I'm good. But you got to go through that. Amen? Hallelujah? I don't want to chuckle with the chickens or squawk with the minor birds. You ever listen to minor birds in the yard? They squawk. They don't just complain. They squawk, 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 squawk. I don't know what they're saying, but I tell you what, I don't want nothing to do with that. We shouldn't come to church and hear that in the parking lot. Come inside. Hey, praise the Lord. That's not the influence. Amen. Prophecy also is an influence in time. You know, prophetic word, word for the future, or what God has. And it's very important that we understand that prophecy has a power. In Habakkuk 2:3, and you all know that word if you read, it says, the vision is for a future time. It describes the end and will be fulfilled. It seems slow in coming. You ever get a word sometimes from God? God give you a word through the word you read it. Been waiting 2 decades already. With that attitude, it might take another decade. Moses was 40 years. He left Egypt at 40, burning bush at 80, completed task at 120. Three stages of 40 years. Now, that's a great life to live, but I believe there was breaks on certain areas. Amen. Now, I'm not criticizing Moses because I've been told by certain individuals that I act like Moses sometimes. So, I am slow in moving because I'd rather be careful than stupid. That's just me. So I'm not slow in obeying God in any way. If he says it, I'm going to do it. That's fine. And we learned this year through the scripture, Isaiah 1:19, that it's not just obedience. It's about willingness to be obedient. Not just being obedient and doing it. I mean, in the military, it's easy to take orders. Ain't that right, Pastor? Yeah. Get orders, you disobey the orders. That's why I said, command me and I'll do it. It's easier to get a command. But when you got to be willing, you got to actually have a great attitude and do it. And that's tough sometimes. I don't know about you. That's tough. I have to learn. But I don't care how many years I've been serving. God has to reteach me different things. You're obedient, Rocky, but now you got to be willing. Whoa, now I got to want to do it. I got to actually want to pray for that person that you tell me to pray for. But I don't like them because they talk trash on me. Okay. We're going to do this. And the opportunity, I did a Selah. You know what Selah means, right? Pause. Long time pause. Yeah. You really upset at somebody. Your long time pause, hopefully they walk away. I don't want to pray for that. No, we pray and we have to be willing. We have to be willing to do what God wants. We have to be willing to do it together if possible. The Bible says, at all possible, we should get along with each other. At all possible. Which means sometimes it's hard. You know, we get upset. Amen. How many know that anger drains your energy? I know that for myself. Drains your energy. Not only heightens your blood pressure, but your perception changes. How you see things. Pastor Al will tell you in a conversion of battle, you get narrow-minded all of a sudden. Just, you know, you're not able to see some of the sidebars or the things that's going on. I remember watching a Marine recruiting drill sergeant. And this is what he said after he was done talking. This is the end. And he said this. He said, once you hit your boots on the ground and you hear the explosions and the bullets, everything I taught you, you're going to forget. It's going to have to come back to you in time as you go through the process. So God teaches us through the word. But how many know sometimes when things happen, where is that word? How come we're not living like that? How come we're not operating like that? Well, I'm just as guilty. Sometimes I go right to the physical manifestation of getting upset. Deal with it right now and do what you got to do. But God says, if you just slow down a little bit, you know, I love Benaiah. My son says, Dad, can you talk to me in the calm voice? You know, because when I'm mad, my voice gets irritating, chatter, you know. You know, this is like the fourth time you did. Dad, can you talk to me in the calm voice? Breathe. The other day he did this to me. I mean, no, don't even do that to me. I think you saw it. Somebody did it. He did it out there again. You remember doing that? Yeah, I know, right? So this is what Habakkuk says. So it says the vision is for the future. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. It seems slow in coming. Wait patiently. It says this. It says, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. In other words, when God's time for it, it'll happen when it's time for it. Not the time we want to adjust for it or the time we want to do it in. Amen. I know some of you know because you've waited long to become pregnant and you got pregnant. God says, I had a timing for you. We've seen those miracles, even healing when it couldn't happen. And Pastor Bobby was just sharing that on Wednesday night about our sister Janine and Brother John, and because he's involved. Amen. She does the hard work, more or less, you know, but love you, brother. But that's what happens. And her miracle power, you know, of all that she's been through. And the reason I'm not sharing it, because we're going to have her come up again and share another time. Oh, yeah. Because that testimony is, like, powerful. And baby in the oven, baby in the oven, baby in the oven. God is good. God is good. Hello? Oh, I'm not supposed to say that. Shalom. What a big mouth I have. Don't share things with me too early. It's not the first time I've blown it either. Is it, Sister Wanda? Yeah, they're very naughty. All right, go ahead. All right. No, Sister Wanda's not pregnant, though. I was just addressing another issue. I don't want you to jump to conclusions. God can do that, yeah. But Sister Wanda's going, not now. Don't need that influence. I am totally fine where I'm at right now. But this is true, because Sister Wanda, beautiful as she is, she just got married. Yay! Hallelujah. And I had the pleasure. I had the pleasure. 32 years waiting. That's a lot of patience. What the word says here. And it did come to pass. Word was for fun. That's amazing to me. I know we look for, like, miracle healings, and that's great too, but those are miracle powers that happen. 32 years. My God, some people ain't even 32 years in here old already. Thank you, Jesus. That was not the same thing about her age. I should just go back to the word. God spoke the messages and spoke, and the word of influence took the time for it to come to pass. Amen. That time will influence the people in that time. So there's a certain amount of time for different people to be influenced with whatever that task is or whatever that mission is that's going on. I'd like to give you 5 principles to influence time. Can I do that? Principles are things that are in the Bible as well. And principles are for everybody, saved and unsaved. In other words, if you operate in it, if you do it, then it'll come to pass. Those things will happen. Galatians 6:7, right? Whatever you sow, you shall reap. God is not mocked. That's a principle that's operative. It's also in the Proverbs that we read and Psalm that we read. So this is 5 basic principles, real simple. Influence. It's all about influence. Influence is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. See, we want things to happen now. We heard the one. Give me that. That word says I'm blessed. I'm gonna. It doesn't happen that way. So it's a process, so it doesn't happen overnight. Number 2, influence is a product of trust. Not trust a product of influence. Influence is a product of trust, which means if I trust you, then you can influence me. If I trust what you say, you know, you have a track record of being that person that does what they say and you hear and you do, then you have that. So influence is a product of trust. Number 3, when people are heard, this is all operative. When people are heard, they are open to be influenced. And so what does that mean? Well, if you don't listen to nobody and all you want to do is talk, then you're not going to have an influence because they're just going to hear chatter. Remember? It's like chickens, chatter, chatter, chatter. So being heard is important. Do you agree, women? Because I know husbands like to interrupt. I see some women that raising their hand because they don't want, thank you for the honesty. I see a husband, okay, that's right. No, that's right. Because it is true. We get into those places where we'd rather be heard. We all need to be heard, amen? But sometimes we're just waiting to, as soon as they take a breath, to say something, right? When we're being spoken to, yeah? And we jump right in there. And then we're like on oxygen tanks or something. We're not going to even stop talking. Ain't going to give them a chance to get back in there. Can't do that. So, when they're heard, when people are heard, they have an open door to be influenced. Number 4, influence requires descriptive communication, which means you got to be more descriptive. You got to be more exact or more open. You got to kind of give them a vision of it. You know, share it a little bit. Break it down a little bit. Don't just say it and expect people just to understand what you're saying. Sometimes it's hard. I do that sometimes, Pastor Robert. Some, yeah, you need to explain that a little bit more. So it's just because you've got to be more descriptive about what you're sharing. Number five, in closing for that, influence isn't about winning. I want you to say this with me because that's a hard thing for some people who are very highly competitive. Leave it on the football field and the sports events. Say it with me. I know it's not going to be good in the manners of good, but it's going to be great in the manners of goodness of God. Amen? So it says, just say it with me. Influence isn't about winning. It's about solving problems for others. Duh. How's that? You know, that's one of the 7 points Mike Murdoch lived by, for being successful in life and in all things. These are biblical holds. Oh, I forgot to tell you that. These actually came from Forbes. Yeah, businessmen that made the top 1,000. Took it out of the Bible by extraction. Said that there's principles in the Bible that when you operate by them, you receive what is planned for them because they make total sense. So I thought it was amazing that business people, and you know who says this all the time is Mike Murdoch, business people in the world know how to operate. That's why the Bible says the children of darkness are sometimes wiser than the children of light, because we know these things and we don't operate by them. We can be born again and still not operate by the principles of God. I'm not talking about laws, I'm talking about principles. Applicable things that we can do. Hello? Hello? Knock, knock. So those are basic 5 principles, okay? Everybody happy with those? I'm not done yet. I'm going to give you the definition for influence. I gave you the definition for persuasion, but I want to remind about influence. Influence, listen to this. The capacity to have an effect on someone's character, development, and even behavior. Also on someone, something, or an effects of itself, even in animals. Trainers, they have an influence over their dog. They love them. Our dog is just about 15 years old, one of the two we have, and she had a stroke twice. And we thought for sure she wasn't going to make it. It was really, I mean, she was on the ground. She wasn't eating. I had to carry her to her location to lie down. I just said, well, I'm just going to pray for her and make it comfortable for her. Well, we just got a little bit of hamburger. I put a little bit in her mouth, and I saw this. Kept on doing that. Today, her head is tilted. She barks loud. She can't hear too good, don't see too good, smells just fine. And she is doing pretty good as far as we can see. And she greets us. She gets up. Amen. I always tell people, don't walk by her quietly because she can't hear. If she smells you too quick, she doesn't usually bite, but she might bite you. So give her a chance to see you. I always touch her leg. Hey, hey. Because sometimes I walk up and she goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm like, hey, it's me. Smell. Okay, good. Yeah, because she doesn't see all that good. And she only had one eye to begin with when we got her. She was abandoned and we took her in. Our vet, somebody turned into our vet. Anyways, but she's doing well. I believe this firmly. And you might say, why are you saying about a dog? If God can do that, yes, with some love and some caring, yes, and some just being, you know, helpful to share that love and giving them food and just a simple act of kindness, and they felt love, their survival rate to recover increases by the physical parts. We know that even in the physical realm, which means we know that to be true, that when your mind is convinced. Now let me tell you, how many of you in here don't want to be loved? I mean, seriously? Because we'll lay hands on you suddenly. We got a lot of people that love you. They're going to lay hands on you and slap you and hug you and slap you and hug you. No, but that's really all of us. All of us. But if God can do that through the love of a person for a dog. And I actually said this when I was in the yard. I said, Lord, I don't want to bury another animal right now. You know, these are my animals. These are our dogs. I don't want to really do that. And he recovered her. Not once, but twice. That's how good God is. But what is the key element? Love. Love influenced the survival rate of recovery. That's why I said, when you go to a hospital, don't look at them and you go, hi, how are you? I'm in a hospital. How do you think I am? Go in with a positive attitude. Go and give them a hug. Amen? And if anybody ever visits anybody in a coma, make sure you remember they can hear you, because they can. It's been proven. I am a product of knowing that for true, and a person, and my pastor taught me that, but I was able to experience that physically with someone. And knowing 3 months in a coma, and they told me they heard every word I said. Yeah. So, well, that's what she said. I heard everything you said. Not every word. Everything you said, she said. So next time you go visit somebody, Have a positive attitude. Walk in there with a lot of love. Amen. I mean, this thing, if you walk in the room and go, I love you. That's why I came to see you today. And so what if the family's there and they don't want you there? Who's that weirdo? Love that person. Go in with the anointing. Just love. Love cancels out so much stuff. Love is such a wonderful, wonderful blessing and a gift that should be shared. And I speak to myself when I share this because it does do many wonderful things in life. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What does it say on the last verse? Without love, without charity, all the other things, hope, faith, it can't operate fully. We got to love each other. Amen. And I want to just encourage, I'm the same way. Telling somebody you love them without showing them, that don't have no power at all. Oh, you heard one woman say, right? I'm not going to look that way. Is the truth. Touching her husband. Yeah, you're okay, baby. It's all right. Yeah. We're going on vacation. We better be all right. We're leaving today to vacation. We got to be all right. So that's what it says. The capacity to have an effect of someone's character, even someone's behavior or development. You know, scripture comes to mind that bad company corrupt good character. So who you hang around with has an influence over you because you hang around with them. You chew. I don't hang around with anybody but me. There it is. Bad influence right there. I don't know about you, but I need help. Excuse me. I need help. And this morning we were talking up in the office and I said, I need help to have help. I need somebody to help me to get help. Because sometimes we're given the opportunity, but we don't want help. Maybe a little bit of pride in there. Maybe a little bit, I don't need help. Don't wait till you need help to get it. God gives us help. I'm thankful for help. I couldn't do what I do without help. I couldn't go to work without help. I couldn't do anything without help. Help from the Lord first, looking to the hills, amen. I'm not looking with my head down. Are you all good? Okay, real quick, we're going to talk about some evil men. Is that okay? All ladies all say amen. Yeah, we're talking about some good women, but you know, we're talking about, well, we know that one of the most wicked kings in Israel of all time was Ahab, and we all hear about him. And he is listed as the most wicked king in Israel. Maybe there are some other ones outside. The influence of time gave 5 good kings and 33 evil kings in 208 years. So in 208 years in biblical time, there were just 5 good kings. Now you got to understand, good kings is kings in good standing with God that don't follow, and go to the idols later. Because sometimes they start their engines good, end up not too good. Asa started off fairly good, didn't end up too good. Asa was another king. Instead of seeking God, he had disease in his feet. I'm not going to speculate, but I'm going to believe that was probably diabetes. I'm going to figure out because that was a deadly thing in that time and way back then. They don't know what it is. But he didn't seek the Lord. He went to the physicians until he burned them out. Now, I give credit to the woman with the issue of blood because she burned out her money, burned out her physicians, and then she says, I'm going to crawl to Jesus' garment. I'm going to get a piece of that. I'm going to get my healing. See, she did the right thing. Even in the end, even if you go through all that and you think you're going to get help there when you don't, use wisdom and say, well, that didn't work. I'm broke, but he's right there for me. And she got healed. Just a touch. One word from God changed your life. One word from God changed your life. One word from God. Anyway, so Ahab was listed as the most wicked king in Israel, as noted in the word. The influence gave that. One thing that made them good kings is they feared Lord. This is all what it says about them. They all had that one nature. They feared God, which means they respected him, they honored him, they reverenced him, they were in awe of him. They had all these good qualities going. They weren't perfect men, but they were always honoring God. John Bevere always says, the church lacks the fear of the Lord, the respect and the honoring of God. I agree. Whenever I went to one of his services or heard him on TV, he always said that sooner or later. Church got to fear God, got to respect God, got to honor God, got to be in awe of God. He's great and mighty to be praised. He's the creator of the universes. Amen. I mean, if you don't believe that, that's your choice, but I believe it all. I believe that God is great and mighty. God is always right, even when we're mad, even when we're hurt, even when we say, you could have stopped that at any time, Lord. You could have not let that happen to me, Lord. God is always right, even when we believe things could have been different because we know he can change everything. He's still right. He's still right. He didn't cause any evil things to happen. It's not his attribute, his character, or who he is. But that doesn't mean, and we know he has full power. But he doesn't cause people to do crimes. He's not allowing that to happen. It's called free will, ladies and gentlemen. That's one thing I love about my father, is that we have the choice. We're not forced into it. We're given a choice. And I thank God for that. Because that shows the true nature of a person. When you choose, you can't blame him. Can't blame anybody. It's your choice. I'm blessed that we have so many wonderful children that love God. And their fear of God is not a trembling and they're afraid of him. They respect him. They honor him. They love him. They know that he's there. My grandfather raised me that if I ever am in trouble, call on God. That's all he ever told me. But I remember those simple things. So even when we're mad, even when we're hurt, even when we know that God could have stopped it, but he didn't, God is always right, so we should treat him with that respect. That no matter what we go through, as sad as we are, yes, it's difficult. Sometimes, yeah, you just want to tear apart things that you're so angry. How could that have happened? I did everything I believe was right. God is still right. No matter what. Yeah, it's hard to swallow, but it's truth. God knows everything about us before we even know about us. Always shakes me up when I go, God knows I might do something wrong before I even think I'll do something wrong. That should just be enough right there. And yet he knows everything about us, but we still have the free will to choose. Amen? One of the things about Ahab is that he was very influenced by his wife, we know that, and Jezebel. But that's because he was a crybaby. Men, stop being crybabies. Things ain't going right, but you know what happened today to me. I had such a hard day, baby, you know. Your wife, she goes to work sick. That's when I catch a cold. Call him for me. Not feeling too well today. Can you make me some soup before you leave? Make sure you put out everything for it and lay it out. I'll go away from that. Everybody's not, men are not happy today with that thing. But I know Pastor Russell confirmed. Pastor Russell took good care of his wife, but I know his wife was his partner and special partner for him. And she's in heaven, and that's a hard thing, but tell you what, he always encouraged, I know he encourages all the men and everybody, associate pastor, but even though he has an office, the power of God, he's encouraged us by his never giving up. He never gave up. Never. I used to tell him, slow down. You're moving faster than me. And he just kept doing it and kept doing it. And this is what he told me that really touched my heart one day. He said, what would my wife say? What would Auntie Lydia say? Auntie Lydia would say, you know what you're supposed to do. Am I correct? Thank you. Yeah. I used to call her the church police. She used to sit on that couch in the lobby and just monitor. But she wasn't like the one on the TV commercial and just monitoring. She actually stand up. And she would do something about it. Yeah. Children respected her because she wasn't going to take no shenanigans. You know, I loved her around my son. Be like, nah, sit down. Auntie Lydia was a no-nonsense lady with a heart of love that just overpoured on a lot of people in this house. Anyways, saying that, I'm saying about love again. It's the power of love. But Ahab didn't have that. Ahab just wanted things. So we shared last time when he went for that land and the field and had his wife encourage him to do certain things and put it on paper and put a seal and cause the death of a man for him to get it. That brought prophecy from a prophet to his demise and her demise. When we do something totally against what God wants, even though you think it's right, there's going to be repercussion and consequences in the end. I don't care who we are. I don't care who we think we are. I don't care how bright and smart we are. I don't care how much technology you can use. I tell you what, God don't need technology. He can shut it down. The book of Daniel in the last chapter talks about things like that from chapter 9 going on, about moving to and fro very rapidly and things happening so fast. Amen. Pretty soon the electric car is going to fly. Amen. Then we got to get a different kind of license, not just a stock, got to get out of wings or something on it. Something we got to do. I don't know. All kinds of things. But pretty soon they are. A generation is going to have to learn how to fly cars. Amen. I mean, could you? He wants to drive already, but now he goes, how do you have to be to drive? Can I start the car? Where's the brake? So he's figuring out the car, and I'm wondering, maybe I shouldn't be teaching him this at 11 years old. You know, one day I got on the driveway, hey! Anyways, Ahab was that king, but he made that choice, and he became the most wicked king in Israel because of that choice. And he did change and alter parts of history. We know that Adam in the garden shortened life expectancy, shortened his time of life. He could have been a lot older. God had a better plan. We know that. Why? Because he's allowing his influence to redirect what he already knew. He chose, and I'm not criticizing, but he chose the influence of his wife over the word of God that he heard directly. That's a strong influence, ladies and gentlemen. That's a strong influence because he loved his wife. He cared. And what did he do? Trust. Trust is the key point. And so trusting someone causes us to believe what they say, causes us also to respond to the things they say to us, and allow that to bring a change of character, change of behavior. And so we got to be careful. Amen? So Adam did those things in the garden. was influenced, life expectancy, or listen, even labor was changed. Because before, he never did nothing. Everything was just there for him. It says, now you're going to toil and you're going to sweat. Amen. You're going to go through these things because of what you've done. But you've changed the time expectancy. This is what I had planned. But since you did this, it altered time in the ways that things are going to be done. We have a power. Adam chose a visual influence over the Word of God. He saw that what his wife did didn't do anything. He saw that when she ate, it didn't do anything. So he allowed that. And I know the enemy was just crouching, going, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You can do this. Look, nothing's happening to her. She's fine because she didn't hear the word. She heard her husband's word. How many know wives don't listen to husbands? Hardly ever have it all. But there's a reason for that. We won't get into that. But the point is that he yielded. There was a visual. Well, yeah, she looks pretty good. She's not, you know, nothing happening to her. Once he took a bite, everything changed. Once you hear a word from God, you have a responsibilities. A responsibility to the responsibilities, excuse me, of that word. It's your word that you got from God. It's something God gave you directly. So no matter who believes you or trusts you or even criticizes you, that word is solid. I'll stand on that. My wife knows that about me. I'll say, if I believe that's the word of God, I'm going to stand on it. If I make a mistake, I repent. But you have to stand on that. So the labor of our hands. Something about evil that I read on a term that they use in Forbes again. And all these businessmen. They teach that evil is its worst enemy. How's that? And I thought, wow, that actually makes sense. Evil is its worst enemy. It's self-destructive within itself. Adam chose a visual influence over the Word of God. Today, the church can come under the same kind of influence. A visual. A visual. That can cause us to alter our thinking on what the Word of God says. Our words have power. Do you believe that? Our words have power to change many things. Because God said it does. Speak as if it is, not what you think. God speaks things and it happens. Speaks things into existence. Ecclesiastes 5:5 says this. It is better to say nothing than to make a promise or a vow and not keep it. So don't just chatter off things and think it's good. You know, a guy sacrificed his daughter in the Old Testament because of that quick response action or reaction. You know, Galatians 6:9 says this. This is closing scripture. It says, and let us not grow weary, you know this scripture, of doing good. For in due season, in time, you will reap, you will receive, if we do not give up. Giving up is not an option. And if you think like that, if you download that into your system, no matter how mad you get, how argumentative things become, how frustrated we get as young people, thinking you're being picked on by the teacher. Usually it's because you're pretty or you're handsome, you know that, right? They're picking on you because they want to be you. Anyways, it's important that we understand that we have a strength within us that's greater than any strength we've ever experienced before. That's Jesus Christ. He's here to make a home in our heart and to do everything he can to bless us. When we continue to do good, as long as we don't give up in doing that good, the thing, remember we shared about good and what that means, and I don't have time to go into that. There's a whole breakdown in the word good and what it really means by the old Hebrew Testament. We influence time for the harvest of our entire life. Our entire life. We can influence the harvest of our entire life by making sure that our influence is helping people, solving problems for people, giving time to love on people. I don't have to like anybody, but I have to learn to love everyone. Learn to love their soul. Learn to love them as a child of God, because we're all children of God. Yeah, it's tough sometimes, especially when you meet with resistance. Is this going to make you have stronger wings? You're just going to be able to fly and rise above those problems. I'm learning the same thing in my process of life. I don't ever want to stop learning. I don't care how old I get. The Bible says I need to have a teachable spirit. I need to be able to receive and not be a stubborn person. Because when you can do that, you can grow. You can advance for the kingdom. Amen. You know God loves you, right? And he doesn't love you because all the good things he did. He says continue to do good. He loves you because he created you. He loves you because you're his child. You know that God loves everybody, not just those that sit in churches and are saved, because he loved me before I became born again, and he helped me through difficult times, brought me to salvation, regardless of how difficult that might be for some, and some even get close to losing their lives, and some received Christ and then they went home, but praise God, they received Christ. But yes, we miss them. Nothing wrong with missing them. God didn't tell us to get religious. He told us to get right. Righteous, in good standing with him. And today, that's all I got to share. I pray God touch you this morning. I pray he bless you. Amen. Give him some praise. That you have the power to influence time. Amen. You have the power to help people be a problem solver. And that doesn't mean you have to have all the answers. Sometimes it just means, what is the principle? Listening. Once you listen and people know that you care, that's what the real issue is, then there is an influence that you have over them. And not to manipulate them or control, but to help them. If your motive is to help people, yes, and your intention is to see their success, God will use you in a big and mighty way. He'll give you the anointing and the power within you. And meanwhile, he's going to bless you. He's going to, because that's his word. That's the way he is. But the greatest gift we could ever receive to start everything is the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. There's no way around that. That's the best of the best of the best. Not a religious experience. Not about joining a club. Amen. It's about having Jesus reside in us. So if you're watching, if that's you out there and never asked Jesus into your heart, this is a good day. Today is the day of salvation. It's a good day to just say, hey, Lord Jesus. You can pray with me if you want. If you're in the house and you don't have Jesus, put your hand up to God. Let him see your hand. If you already have Jesus, you're set. But just put up your hand and he'll see your hand. It's just an acknowledgement, the Bible says, and it's important. Just like for yourself out there, I don't have to see your hand. God can see it. It's the most important lifting of your hand you'll ever do to raise your hand. And just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. I receive you today. Thank you, Father, for sending your son to die for me. I receive you, Lord, and I know that my life will never, ever be the same again in Jesus' name. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, give us a call. I want to pray with you, direct you if you're from another place to show you, maybe give you some information about a church nearby you. If you're in our community, come and visit us. See what it's like to just have God touch you and lift you up. We appreciate you today. We've got over 20 mission outreaches. If God touches you to give an offering, you go to wordoftruth.org, wordoftruthmaui.org, excuse me, and God will lead you the rest of the way. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We're going to release the ushers in the house. Also, we have church on the lawn today.